Father, we thank you for your presence. Thank you for the light of your glory that shines upon your word and into our hearts, giving us the revelation knowledge of the glory that was in the face of Jesus Christ, that we might also partake and demonstrate the same glory as they beheld him and beheld his glory, full of grace and truth. Might they also behold the same glory upon us, filling us also with grace and truth. We enter your word with the reverence that it deserves. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand. I pray for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, that I would speak as I should as an oracle of God. Secondly, put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, so that we will be more transformed and conformed to the image of Jesus. I further pray as I speak that the power of the Spirit of God be released in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful to deliver the word with precision to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving every blessing in their life individually, agreed individually and said, I have a very important message this afternoon. I received the direction for it during the Tuesday prayer meeting here when we're praying, and I shared a little bit of it with us in church. And between then and now, God has expanded it into a full prophetic message for us. And it's really like an extension from the New Year message. I've entitled it Quantum Leaps of Prayer, Power, and Prosperity. A quantum, like we shared on New Year's Day, this is from nuclear physics and modern physics, is simply, the word quantum just means packet. So it's when we say quantum, we're talking about something that's is a discrete, it's a packet, complete packet of something, of energy really. And what happens, in the photoelectric effect, and also amongst, in chemicals, is that electrons, elementary particles, jump from one energy level to another when they receive a quantum of energy from light. So when light, you can put on the illustration, when light shines on some material, the electrons that have low energy in what we call the valence band, and then when they receive the light of sufficient energy, a quantum of light, it gives the electron a kick, so to speak, and it jumps across a forbidden energy gap into a conduction band where it can now begin to conduct electricity. This is the principle that solar cells work on. So, spiritually speaking, God is giving us, we preached this in January, on January 1, and it's a present truth prophetic message now, because as I'm going to share with you in a few minutes, these few minutes, you will actually see that you're actually some of us are already experiencing these quantum leaps, and there are others that are still in front of us. So that's why it's a present truth prophetic message. In other words, there's some of it that's presently happening, and some of it is still in the future. We are experiencing, many of us now, experiencing a quantum leap in our prayer lives. We are receiving power from God, quantum power of sufficient energy that is allowing us to leap across forbidden energy gaps of prayer to places of conduction banned in prayer, so to speak, that we had thought impossible. Now, I remember this was 1989, 1990, 1991, 1992, somewhere in there. I taught, and I actually wrote a book, you know, with Pastor Buega and Pastor Wale assisting me, you know, called Spiritual Time Management. And I remember teaching, you know, that, you know, ultimately, as we grow spiritually, you are supposed to actually tithe your time, just like you tithe your money. So the first 2.5 hours of the day is supposed to be given to God in prayer. And then throughout the rest of the day, you keep doing offerings of prayer, which is what we call, you know, praying without ceasing. Like, you know, praying once every 6 hours to enforce the kingdom, then praying frequently in tongues to commune with God, then praying with your thoughts. If you put all that together, you'll find that you literally will be praying, you know, without ceasing. At the time I taught it over 30 years ago, or about 30 years ago, 28 years, you know, somewhere in there, it was like 1990, you know, people thought it was impossible. I met a lot of criticism I got. Oh, it's not practical. How can anybody ever do that? You know, don't tell people that. So just tell them to pray 15 minutes. You know, that's what they can handle. They can't handle 2.5 hours. They can't do this. They can't do that. Mommy, remember? Then God gave us a quantum kick. It's called Good Morning Jesus. It wasn't Manu. It was God. And what they said was not possible, they're doing it now. Thank you, Pastor Ibrahim. Not exactly effortlessly, but by the grace and the mercy of God. I, yet not I, but the grace which was me, I labored. So it's not effortlessly, it's with labor, but it's by grace. You get up at some people, you know, some of the leaders, they get up at 4:15, they pray 4 to 5, then they join you, or you join them, 5 to 6, then you go and do what you would like to do. Then they continue 6 to 7, that's 3 hours already. And we've been doing it for over 2 years now. It's going to 2 years in July. It will be 2 years in July 1, and we said it was not possible. You know what? You just got a quantum leap. So some of you are already, now, imagine that electron getting the kick, you know, from the photon of light, you know, so it's already in the air and it's going across the forbidden. Many of you are in transit. You've left the valence band of prayer and you are on your way to the conduction band. Some of you have already landed on the conduction band. Some people are already doing it. They're doing 2.5 hours every morning. And on top of that, they're enforcing the kingdom once every 6 hours. And on top of that, they are praying frequently in tongues. And on top of that, they are praying consistently with their thoughts. What people have said cannot, you are very busy. I know people. Not just us who are pastors. Okay, you are pastors. You don't have to go to work and all that. No. There are people who are doctors, professors. They go to work. They're doing everything you're doing. And they're doing it. Say, Pastor, how do you know? I check. So I'm a good pastor. I get them to report to me. So it's not that they are trying to do it. They're actually doing it. Of course it can be done. Somebody sent me something recently, you know, and said, yesterday or the day before, it was a very busy day. I really didn't pray as much as I should. So I encouraged the person. I said, don't worry. You know, practice makes perfect. Then I said this to them, and I want to say to all of us, you can create time. I would say create time. You see, the 2.5 hours, the early hours of the morning are sacrosanct. Are you listening to me? The only thing that will die is your sleep. There is no work at 5 o'clock in the morning. Normally.
There is no work at 5 o'clock in the morning. So you get up at 4:30,
you know, or 4.
By 6:30, you've done your 2.5 hours. Of course it can be done. Then during the rest of the day, you don't need long hours of prayer. You just need short bursts. Amen? Let me give an example, because as I was praying this morning, the Holy Spirit just gave me some practical example. Imagine if you're a top executive. You know, maybe you work in the bank or you work in some big corporation. You have a very important board meeting with all of your staff. You have to be there, and you get a prompt to pray. What do you do? You don't start speaking in tongues of everybody. You know, what do you do? You know, no matter how busy a schedule is, you know, especially if you're the leader and you are in control of the meeting, you can just say, we will have a recess for 15 minutes. Let's have tea. And you know, they like that. And if you need to use the bathroom, you can go. That's your window. You go in there, you pray, and you come back. Or you're an engineer, a civil engineer at a construction site. The work is going, so many things are being reported to you. You know, everything is busy, busy, busy. And so the Holy Spirit prompts you, you need to pray. You know, you just leave your other workers and engineers. You go to the back of the site. There's nobody there. You pray. 5-10 minutes, you're done, you come back. Who knew? What did you do? You created time inside your time. For your times are in His hand. No matter how busy you are, if it is your priority, you will create the time. You're a busy executive. Like me, for example, a senior pastor, I have so many obligations. I have so many things I have to see to. So sometimes, you know, I have to go and see somebody in Lagos. Or I have to see somebody in Abuja. It happens to me all the time, you know. Do you know all the way to Lagos I pray? I mean, I'm not saying all the time, but I'm saying the great majority of the time I'm in prayer and spirit. Now, if a phone comes through that is important, I look at it. If it's important, I answer it, or I give an instruction. Do you understand? I create the time because I understand the vital importance and priority of prayer. If my driver is driving, I'm praying. I got my Bible on my iPad. I pray, you know, sometimes I receive a message, I write it down. Sometimes I'm reading physics or something else, you know. God is prompting me and say, do this, do that. I do it all the time. So I know that practically it can be done. No matter who you are, if Daniel, and that is why it is written inside the scripture, if Daniel could pray 3 times a day as a prime minister of the whole of an empire of Babylon, you have no excuse. I heard 3 amens. One, don't let me say the names of the people. Amen. If you can't say amen, say oh me. Daniel created the time. He created it. The Bible says it was his custom. 3 times a day. He created the time. So much so that the people knew. Of course it can be done. It's not a long period. He doesn't go and pray for 1 hour in the afternoon when he's supposed to be at work. It's just 10, 15 minutes, 5, 10 minutes. He's done and he's come back. Goes back to the office. Are you listening to me? No matter what you're doing, you go to the bathroom to go and use, you know, to go and ease yourself. You pray in tongues. Quietly while you're easing yourself. Usually takes at least 2-3 minutes. Hello? You come back. What are you doing? You're praying frequently. You know what the Apostle Paul says? I thank my God. I pray more, you know, I pray more than ye all. But the actual Greek is more often. Somebody was praying all the time. Where do you think God has revelation from? So you can actually, so some of us are already in transit in the quantum leap. Some of us have landed. We're in the conduction band for prayer now. We're going to get to the other two in a minute. And we're going to see the connection between all the three. You know, so that's the prophetic part. You know, but this present truth part. We are already in transit. And some of us have already landed with our 2 feet on the conduction band. And we're already experiencing a quantum leap of prayer. What men said is impossible in the 21st century. That, you know, nobody, we're all busy, there's no way you can pray. Like, of course you can. The only thing that would die is your sleep and watching television. Yes, and the pleasures of men. We've proven it. You know, once it's about 10, 15, 11, mommy will tell my wife, say, honey, I'm going to bed. Sometimes I go, sometimes I say, I'll meet you in about an hour. You know what's died? We don't have time for, you know, as many movies as we used to watch. We still watch movies, but not like before. Because God is now a priority. It's a quantum leap. We've crossed the forbidden energy gap of prayer by practice. And you see, I wrote this and preached it by revelation 28 years ago. Called Spiritual... I still have... Pastor G, that's another book we must get back on. It's called Spiritual Time Management. They thought we were crazy. Pastor G, true or false? We went to Lagos and preached it. Some guy invited us. I won't mention his name. You know, and Pastor G went with me. This, I'm talking about 1991. You know, and after the meeting and everything, the guy came to Pastor G and said, don't mind that your pastor. Do you people really do that thing? Pastor Boyega looked at him and said, yes, we do. He said, oh my, nobody can do that. He said, we do. He said, come to Ibadan. So the guy now came to Ibadan. You know, and you know, brought him for all night. He could not believe his eyes. You know what he told Pastor Boyega? He said, you know, I didn't believe you in Lagos. You people actually do this thing. So you mean it's possible? He didn't believe me. He didn't believe us until he came and he saw and he left. Since that time, he's kept a safe distance from us. We're friends, you know, like nothing wrong, you know, but he's not close to us. He has not invited us since to come and pray. You know, mommy said something the other day. You see, when your life is right, you become a witness against those who are not. So you don't say anything to them. But what you are doing is convicting them because they know that it can be done. Because you are an example and a testimony against them. So sometimes in order not to have that kind of thing, they just stay away from you. What they don't see doesn't disturb them. I want to also talk about this. I mentioned it yesterday, Laura, last week about the Obed-Edom. And once every 6 hours. But I just want to bring out two scriptures. The first one is in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. Where it says the government. Everybody say government. Shall be on his shoulder. The shoulder. The shoulder is symbolic. You know. The government shall be on his shoulder. The word government is also the word kingdom. Kingdom just means, you know, the dominion of the king. So the government or the dominion of the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father is on the shoulders of the Levitical priests who have grown to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, what you need to understand is this. In the Old Testament, we saw the, you know, if you were watching during while the choir was singing, Take Me to the Holy of Holies, some people did a pictorial. They actually built a model of the Ark of the Covenant. If you looked carefully, you will see the two cherubims and their wings. You know, that's the Ark of the Covenant. You know, it's a box and it had gold on it and all of that. You know, and then it had staves. You know, it had four rings. So you put the two rings on this side, two rings on this side, making a total of four. So you put the stave like a stick. It's actually where it was a stick or shittim wood. Then they embroidered it with gold. They put gold round on it. So it was those staves that the priests, they were. So you have to have four priests. Everybody say four is God's number for balance. That's where we got it from. First person I heard say that was Papa Ralph. Learning from Papa Ralph, you know. So because of the four priests, so they put it on their shoulder. So priest number one, priest number two, priest number three, and priest number four. So there are four of them, two in front and two at the back. Are you following? They have to all be the same height or they will be unbalanced. So you can't have one priest that is taller than another priest. You can't have a short one and all of them must be the same height. So in carrying the glory of God, in the end time, the height of the priest must be the stature of Christ, spiritually. Or we cannot carry the ark with balance. I got good news for you. Now, before I go to where I'm going, let's quickly look at 1 Chronicles chapter 15. I believe it's verse 26. It's either 26. Let me just check my notes so, because we don't have time. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 15. It's 15:15. That's a good reference to remember. 1 Chronicles 15:15. Perfection of grace, perfection of grace. Good way of remembering things. And the children of the Levites bear the ark. Where? Where is the government? Upon the shoulders with the staves thereon, which I've explained. Now, what does God do? Look at the wisdom of God in operation. In Jesus' ministry, the ark, the glory of God, was in the face, was on Jesus, because he inherited the Spirit without measure. To take it round Israel, he needed three other men of his measure and fullness. But there was none. So what did he do? He took 12. And then he put 4, 4, 4. When you combine the prayer effect of all those four people and you synergize it, you get the same one that Jesus did. So you have now Jesus, and then you have 4, 4, 4, same height. And they carried the glory all over Israel. There are places they went, Jesus never went. He sent them in twos. First of all, the 12, then later on the 70. That's where the good news is. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Amen. You see, all God needs, like Mom was saying earlier on, you know, there was 120 that stayed inside the upper room. God needs a few faithful people, a critical mass, and then he will synergize their prayers and get it to fullness. You see, if one will put 1,000 to flight, and two will put 10,000 to flight, and there are others who are captains over tens, there comes over hundreds, you know, by putting them in the right combination, which only God knows, he can combine them in enough to get the fullness of Christ. Once he gets 4, 4, 4, 4, that's another set carrying the glory. He gets another 4, 4, 4, 4, another set carrying the glory. 4, 4, 4, 4, another set carrying the glory. That's why they could move from 12 to 70. I'm not even talking to anybody. And that is why the once every 6 hours prayer isn't just, Lord bless me, it's 6 hours, I just want to say thank you. That's part of it. Amen. But it's to enforce the kingdom, because the government is on your shoulders. And when you enforce the kingdom, you're enforcing the kingdom in four areas. This four is getting quite a bit. Hallelujah. You enforce the kingdom over your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. You enforce the kingdom over your body, your physical body. I just got a fax, a tweet from heaven. I have been instructed to remind us. I've not done it for some months, you know. I must be honest. Sometimes I forget. And then because I've taught it and taught it and taught it, I believe that by now it should be inside us. Do you understand? Always enforce the healing of God inside your physical body. Even when you are well. Correction, particularly when you're, don't wait for a sickness. You should take healing scriptures at least once a week. Minimum. Better once every day. Don't have to take too many. Just take and say, but if you do your life scriptures, there's that scripture where it says, Christ is in us. Our spirits have life because we're righteous. Father, by your spirit who lives in us, give life now to our physical members in a measure that's more than enough to keep us. Don't just say it like a parrot. Believe it. And inject life into your physical members daily at the cellular DNA level. Because you don't know what virus is in the air that the enemy is trying to bring. I've got good news and bad news. The coronavirus is not going to be the last one. Nobody said amen. It's part of the end time. Are you following? All kinds of things will be coming. When they come, let not your heart be troubled. Your heart is fixed. You'll not be afraid of evil tidings. It will go as it came. Because you're already walking in health. You're already enforcing the kingdom upon your body. So if any negative thing, any kind of sickness tries to come in at the cellular level, you know, before it even has a chance to develop, you have crushed it. That's free of charge. So you will exercise dominion, government over your soul, mind, will, and emotions, your body, watch this, your circumstances. Hey, there's no such thing. Lock sounds like a cuss word to the spiritual Christian because it doesn't exist. Do you understand? Everything, when we say, that man was very lucky. He just happened to be at the right time. It was the mercy of God. Amen. For Christian and sinner, when good things happen, it's the mercy of God in operation. In the earth. It's just that it's invisible to men. So they just think it's a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. It's the mercy of God in operation. It's happening 24/7. He says his tender mercy are over all his work. God's always working. 24/7. The mercy of God is operating in the earth. Are you listening to me? So you need to understand that the mercy of God is always in operation. So when you enforce the government upon your circumstances, you are making the mercy of God operate in those circumstances so that all things work together for your good. You enforce it! Then you enforce it upon the regional heavenlies. Everybody say regional heavenlies. I didn't hear you. Say it again. See, there are heavenlies over Nigeria. Nigeria is a region. There are heavenlies over this nation. By enforcing the kingdom over my regional heavenlies, I am displacing the prince of the power of the air over Nigeria. So that what will operate in the Nigerian airspace will be the kingdom and not the power of the prince of the air. The more of us that do it, the more effective we become. You know what Nigeria is going to become? Psalm 144. No complaining in our streets. Our oxen will be strong to labor. All our agricultural and economic production will increase. Our children will behave themselves. The boys and the girls. Girls like pillars, you know, after the similitude of a palace. You know, the boys will be, you know, will grow up in their youth. All that is a consequence of displacing Satan in the heavenlies. That's what the people who are carrying the ark are doing. So every 6 hours, kingdom. Every 6 hours, kingdom. Every 6 hours, kingdom. Every 6 hours, kingdom. Before the Satan can recover, kingdom. Before another 6 hours, kingdom. So you know what? We now cause the kingdom of God, the dominion of God will be on our souls, on our bodies, on our circumstances, and upon our regional heavenlies. And when you happen to travel to England or America for holiday, simply because you are there, you change the heavens. It has happened to my wife so many times. You can't, you know, they'll say, you people, you always bring the good weather. I say, we're in charge of the heavens. Honestly, I say that to the glory of God, not as a boast. Truly, even China, some years ago, you know, my wife took the children to a school trip in China, you know, and it was winter and all of that. The minute they landed, the weather changed. When they left, the weather changed. So they told them, you people are taking the guys. It's heavenlies. It's real. It's real. You can enforce the kingdom. Are you listening to me? And that's what we're going to do throughout from now till Jesus comes. Because the iniquity is going to keep increasing. The signs of the end time are not going to stop. Amen. But because we are here, we'll neutralize them. and create a conducive environment, not only for us, but for those under our sphere of influence. Is it clear? Okay. So the next one is the quantum leap of power. Now, this one is ahead of us, where some of us have already experienced the quantum leap of prayer. Some of us are in transit. We've already left the valence band. We haven't handled any conduction band quite yet, but we're in transit. Praise the Lord. If you're here today and you can say, Pastor, I haven't experienced it completely, but I'm already experiencing the quantum leap of prayer. Give me a wave offering. I know there are many of us. You've left where you used to be. You've got a kick. Hallelujah. And you're already in transit. Some of you haven't landed yet on the conduction band, but you will. You're on the way. Amen. In an hour, become easy. 2.5 hours won't be anything. You know, we're praying in the morning. You know, it'll be normal. You know, once every 6 hours will be normal. Frequent praying in tongues will be normal. Frequent communion with God with your thoughts will be normal. And you will do it 24/7. Thank God for 5, 3, 4, 5 amens. Now, let's move to the next one. The quantum leap of power. Now, that's the one we haven't got yet. In other words, not yet in full physical manifestation, but it's on the way. Now, what's the quantum leap of power? We partake of the Spirit without measure. Look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. You can take this off now. Right. Now, this is the commandment that God, Jesus, gave his 12 apostles and later on the 70. There are actually four sections here, but I'm just going to focus on three, because casting out devils is common to all the three of them. I will say, heal the sick. Say one. Cleanse the lepers. I will say two. Raise the dead. I will say three. Now, I'm going to show you something. This came to me by revelation some years ago. How many people remember that message I preached? It's many years now. It's called Messengers of Glory. Go and check it. It's in the Weekly Rhema. This was about 2008. 12 years now. Government. You know, you can say, that's why those messages were prophetic. See, they were telling what was going to come to pass. Okay, now, what's going to happen is this. As the Spirit without measure is manifest inside the church through a leadership that has grown to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, God will, like he did for Jesus, he will take out of that spirit and he will put it on others. We call it a borrowed anointing or a shared anointing. So these people are going to receive a kick, a quantum leap of power. You see, you pray for the sick now, but you pray with the Spirit with measure. You lay hands on the sick, you pray in tongues, sometimes you make a lot of noise, sometimes you do a lot of gymnastics, and you get some results. But this is going to be different. This is Spirit without measure. You will not need to do any gymnastics. You will need to speak in tongues for 20 minutes and roll on the floor and all of that. Thank God for all of that. We despise not the day of small beginnings. But we're moving ahead of that. Do you understand? We're moving beyond that. We're quantum leaping now over a forbidden energy gap that we hadn't had before in the church. The church hitherto has operated the Spirit with measure. But we're going to receive a quantum leap that's going to take us across the forbidden energy gap into the conduction band, so to speak, where we're going to be operating the Spirit without measure. So when you now lay hands on the sick, they will be healed instantly. It's not 10 minutes, it's instant. Like, remember Jesus, let me give two examples from the life of Jesus. When Peter's mother had a fever, how many remember? He had come back from the synagogue. He had just cast out the devil from some silly guy. You know, now one said, "Oh, Jesus of Nazareth, you've come to torment us." He said, "Shut up and get out." And the spirit came out. You know, so when they got home that evening, you understand, Peter's mother-in-law was ill. So the Bible tells us that this is what Jesus did. He said he took her by the hand. If you look at the different accounts, you get different snippets. It's when you put everything together, you get the full picture. What actually happened was that Jesus laid hands on her, rebuked the fever, and pulled her up. All three things. And instantly she was healed and began to serve them. It was not, she didn't gradually recover. It was instant. That is the characteristic of the spirit without measure. Are you listening to me? So, there are going to be Christians who are going to partake of the spirit without measure at the level of what I call baby to little child. Or you can also call it captains over tens. And they will share this portion. They won't share everything. Because God's going to give it to each person at their level. They will share the portion of the spirit without measure where they will heal the sick. They will lay hands on the sick and they will get instant results from everything from fever to cancer. If you can't say amen, say oh me. I said everything from fever to cancer. They will just lay hands because of that anointing that's upon them and instantly the people will get healed. Hallelujah. It's a quantum leap of power from power with measure to power without measure. Then you move up a notch and you go to the little child to young man stage. And they also will receive a quantum of power. And they will now be able to cleanse lepers. You see, the difference between the healing of the sick and cleanse lepers is that the healing of the sick is internal. The cleanse of the lepers is external. So you're going to start seeing external miracles instant. External cleansing of lepers. External creation of eyeballs where there were no eyeballs. External, creation of withered hands growing out. Instant. Everybody will see it. You know, that one's a little bit higher than healing the sick. It's all part of it, but you can see. So God is going to entrust those people with that level of power. Internal organs like wombs, fallopian tubes, hearts, kidneys will be instantly created. What kind of power? It's a quantum leap of power. But it's for the people in the little child to young man stage. Now watch this. All the people in the little child to young man, they already have the other small one too. So they will still have the fever to cancer internal, and they will have this on top for the greater swallows of the letter. Then you've got the last band, which is captains over thousands, which is young man to father. They will have what the other ones had at lower level. Then they will also have the power of the spirit without measure to raise the dead. Again, it will be in categories. There are those who will be raised the dead like Jairus' daughter. The person just died 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 2 hours. Praise the Lord. They call the guy and instantly the person was raised from the dead. Then there will be those like the widow, like the son of the widow of Nain, that has been dead maybe 24 hours or 48 hours inside the mortuary, or they've put them inside a coffin and they are on the way to burial. And you stop it and say, God sent me. He will live. He will not die. Open the coffin. Don't be afraid. Stand up. Stand up! And the guy will get up instantly. You know, people are looking at me and saying, don't do that too. Remember that man, when Elisha said that, and everybody said, if the heavens were open, will it be so? Unbelief will destroy you. It will rob you of your inheritance. Why should you think it a great thing for God to raise the dead? Come on. I believe it with all my heart. And I, Olubi Johnson, by the grace and the mercy of God, I haven't experienced it, but I have heard first-hand accounts of people who did. I grew up in the church I was in London, was pastored, and Mrs. Porter is still alive. In fact, I even just sent her a message this morning. You know, she's old and she's about 103 now. You know, something like that, 104. You know, she's, really slowing down. You know, anyway, and her and her husband told me stories about Smith Wigglesworth, first-hand account. It's in the books, but I had people who, first-hand account. There was one particular, Lucas had about 14 people raised from the dead, documented. There are others that were not documented. But this one happened. The brother, they were in the funeral. The coffin was there. He was in church. Old Wigglesworth. And, he was an uneducated plumber. He never went to school. Oh, the Holy Ghost taught him how to read. And the only book he read was the Bible. You know, and he's from Bradford in Northern England. You know, they don't speak, the English they speak is not like the one, it's not Queen's English. You know, what's up? That means what is up. What's up? You know, so all Wigglesworth, you know, they invite him and some other brethren and all, you know, to come for the funeral and all of that. You know, his brother, nice brother, had died and they were going to bury him and all that. And initially he didn't feel anything like anybody, like everybody else, and go to the funeral. Then God spoke to him. He said, go and raise him from the dead. All Wigglesworth strolls into the funeral parlor where they had the coffin and everything. This is a true story. They had these French doors. So, you know what French doors are, you know, that have those. So, Wigglesworth just said, open the French door, open it. You know, he said, open the casket. My pastor and some of the younger brethren, you know, they know Wigglesworth. And that he could be quite a stubborn fellow, you know, and they felt that this time he was pushing it too far. So they tried to discourage him and said, look, Brother Wigglesworth, he's there, we've been praying, it's okay. Old Wigglesworth said, when God tells you something, don't let the devil talk you out of it. Open the casket. So out of respect, because they'd seen him do many other miracles. You know, healing the sick, you know, Wigglesworth was a wonderful guy. You know, he was a bull in a china shop. I was like, you know, just by the side of the way, you know, somebody had appendicitis once, you know, an elderly person, and you know, he was in their hospital dress. You know, all Wigglesworth took and punched them. People, everybody, all the brethren were afraid. Ah, you can't do this kind of thing. Can you be boxing people who are sick? He hit the somebody. He said, I hate the devil. Boom, come out. Do you know he came out? The person was completely and totally healed and started running around the whole church. The whole place went ablaze. So out of respect for him, and he was elderly. That's why I used to call him Old Wigglesworth. He was in his 80s then. In his 70s. These guys were still in their 30s and their 40s. So, so they opened the casket. And everybody was praying in tongues. This man will not disgrace us today. So he takes the dead body out of the casket. True story. And said, walk in the name of Jesus. The body fell down. That's enough to discourage. He said, at least, Lord, you know, I tried. But not Wigglesworth. Not Old Wigglesworth. He did it the second time. He raised the dead man. You know, and said, walk in the name of Jesus. The body fell down again. He took it the third time. I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I adjure you, walk. And the guy started walking. That place went ablaze. Give the Lord a clap offering. Well, you're going to do better than that. You won't do it three times. You'll only do it once. You won't even have to get the person out of the casket. You just say, I say unto thee, arise. If you can say amen, say amen. Quantum leap of power. From Jairus' daughter right unto Lazarus 4 days in the tomb. We will have that kind of power. It's on the way. It's on the way. So we're going to have a quantum leap of prayer, a quantum leap of power, then a quantum leap of prosperity. And I'm going to close with this. I'm not talking to anybody here. Now watch this. God is going to give us the spirit without measure to create wealth by giving us the ability, the fullness of the ability of the mind of Christ. It sounds impossible. It's prophetic. You know, it's what is immediately ahead of us. It's imminent. Instant, incredible photographic memory. Incredible language learning ability. Incredible artist. I call it PLAM. PLAM is just an acronym, you know, for remembering it. PLAMM. Incredible artistic ability. Incredible musical ability. You know, I've said this many times, you know, when I preached over the years, you know, I'm a lover of music. Incidentally, I'm not a good musician. Yet, I'm going to get the ability. I believe it with all my heart. Amen. I love music, and I have an ear for good music, classical music, you know, even contemporary music. I love jazz. I love skill in music. See, when I listen to a piano piece, I can tell a guy who has skill. I don't have it yet, you know, but I can tell a guy who has skill, and I can tell a guy who's just, you know. I rate Handel's Messiah on the same level as Newton's laws of motion. Both of them are revelation. I'm a physicist, and I have a great respect for Isaac Newton and the laws of gravity and all the great things that he did, you know, and calculus and all of that. Thank God for Isaac Newton and what he received from God. But I rate Handel's Messiah. Go and listen to it. Unless you have not listened to Handel's Messiah. It is pure revelation knowledge. Handel didn't read it in a book. He locked himself inside a room. And he was fasting and praying. And as the thing came from heaven, he began to write the score, the music. So everything we are singing today, you know, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, all those, you know, all those different pieces, you know, they all came by revelation. I rate it on the same level as Newton's laws of motion, because the same God. And the revelation is just as astounding. Who taught Handel? Where did he hear that music from? Even the lyrics. Isaiah 53. Revelation. Then, of course, the crown jewel. Handel's Messiah. You know, Handel's Messiah. King of kings. Oh my. You can't sing that song and the hair not get up on you. Where did he get it from? God. Well, God's going to give you and I those kind of music. Choir, get ready. You haven't heard anything yet. He's going to give you songs in the night. It will come by revelation. And you will score it. And then you come to church the next week and they come and sing it. Straight from heaven. Incredible mathematical ability. You have to make calculations that the normal human mind cannot make. The spirit without measure that God is going to give to the church is a quantum leap. So from where we are now, we're going to quantum leap into incredible photographic memory, incredible language level ability, incredible artistic ability, incredible mathematical ability, incredible musical ability. Now, this is the prosperity part. Everybody, tell me your Bible to Proverbs chapter 8. I'm going to close with this. This quantum leap. So we have three quantum leaps. There's a quantum leap of prayer, quantum leap of power, and now quantum leap of prosperity, which is going to come by the ability of the mind of Christ. Because this incredible photographic memory, this incredible language learning ability, this incredible artistic ability, this incredible musical ability, this incredible mathematical ability will now be used to create wealth that the world has never seen anything like. Proverbs chapter 8. And quickly look at verse 12 to start with. And then from there we jump to verse 18 through 21. Look at it. It says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of what? The church has barely scratched the surface of this. Not a little bit of it, but we haven't. We're going to enter into its fullness. We're quantum leaping into this. Are you listening to me? Now go to verse 20, verse 18, I believe it is. Yes. Riches. Oh, I didn't hear you. And honor are with me. Yea, what? This is riches that will not fade. That's why it's durable. You know, there are some riches that we fade. It's not durable. But this type of riches, because it does, it's not the money that is the riches. It is the wisdom that is creating the money. And that one is infinite, that it comes from God. So the money can never finish. That's why it is durable. Everybody say durable riches. Then it also has the characteristics of righteousness. This, I'm getting ahead of myself, but let me tell you that. That is why the sequence is important. You will not get the quantum leap of power without the quantum leap of prayer. You will not get the quantum leap of prosperity without the quantum leap of power. One leads to the other. And the base is prayer. So the person that does not quantum leap into prayer now can kiss the other two quantum leaps goodbye. I didn't hear amen. You can't say amen, say oh me. Are you listening to me? No quantum leap in prayer, there will be no quantum leap in power, and there will be no quantum leap in prosperity. You will have food and remember, that's it. You can be trusted. Because it is the man who has quantum leaped in prayer that can have durable riches with righteousness. Because it is the power of the Spirit with which he's releasing in prayer that will make him right doing. We're not talking about right standing alone now. We're talking about right doing. A strong man retaineth riches. Are you listening to me? No quantum leap in prayer. No quantum leap anywhere else. Oh, nobody said amen. It was more homey. You know, when they want to lie to you, they'll tell you you're going to have quantum leap of power. It's not true. You can't have quantum leap of power. You cannot have quantum leap of prosperity without quantum leap of prayer. It's the foundation. So start working on it now. If you have not, if you're not yet in transit, get into transit. Again, good morning, Jesus. Receive the frequency, hallelujah, the quantum of light, and get into the air and land on the conduction soon. Because without it, you can't do the other two quantum leaps, power and prosperity. Is this clear? Now, verse 19. My fruit, talking about the fruit of the wisdom of God, of the ability of the mind of Christ, is better than gold. Yea, than fine gold. You know, gold is supposed to be the most valuable thing. But this wisdom is more important than gold. Because it will create gold. My revenue, than what? Verse 20. I wisdom, lead in the way of what? See the recurrence of righteousness. This is not the kind of Pentecostal prosperity that you can do all this lesser and all these things that, you know. This one is righteousness because it's spirit without measure. And it's only given to people who have quantum leaped in prayer. Who are righteous. Not only in right standing, but also in right doing. Is it clear? In the midst of the paths of judgment. Next verse. That I may cause those that love me to what? Substance, and I will what? It's quantum leap of prosperity. We haven't seen money yet, though. The richest men on the earth now are people like Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos, the guy in Amazon. Their worth is in the region of $100 billion. That's all we've seen so far. But what is coming with the wisdom of God and the creativity that God is going to give the church, our money is going to be in the trillions. It sounds impossible to your natural mind now because all you've seen is what you've seen. When I was a kid, when we were in our teenage, myself, Pastor Wega, my wife, you know, the richest guys in the world were, what's this guy's name? Onassis and the other guy, J. Paul Getty. I still remember because I read Paul Getty's. That's how I got born again, incidentally. Reading Paul Getty's book because I wanted to be a millionaire by the time I was 30, like Paul Getty. It's a true story. As I read, I went by his book, by his autobiography during my youth call because I wanted to be a rich man, you know. So as I read the book, I found out Paul Getty was married and divorced 5 times. I'm telling you how I got to God born again. I said to myself, this guy's not a success, he's a failure. No matter how much money he has, you know, his life was not together. That's what led me to the Bible. And that's what got me born again. True story. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. In those days, they were the richest men in the world. You know how much they had? $100 million. And we thought it was a lot of money. Nobody could conceive that one person could have $1 billion in 1976, 77, 78. Pastor G? This was in the late 70s. People like Bill Gates were unknown. Bill Gates was still a young boy struggling with DOS and Windows, trying to get people to believe what he was saying. Amen. Knocking on. When I was in Imperial College, in 1979, 1980, the IBM PC came out in 1981. Bill Gates was begging. He was going around. He didn't have the money to be able to do it. So he went to IBM and begged them to buy his software. DOS, Disk Operating System. And they first of all kicked him out and didn't listen to him. Then some senior guys there said, look, this boy has something sensible to say. So let's invite him. So he invited him, said, look, we want to do a PC. He said, yeah. You know, he said, but I'm not going to sell it to you. I'm going to license it. Smart boy. I'm not going to sell it. I'm going to license it. So for every PC you sell, I'm going to license the software to you and I get so much. The rest is history. Today he's richer than IBM. Yeah. Give a lot of clap offering. Well, I got good news. Our day has come. And there are things God is going to show us that is going to create wealth. And it's going to be in the trillions. Just like then it looked as if nobody can ever have $100 billion. We were thinking of $100 million as much. Today we're thinking of $100 billion as much. But the day and hour is coming, and now is, where there will be people, God's people, who will have 2 trillion, 10 trillion, 20 trillion, 100 trillion. And why not? And they're not going to use it to show off. They're not going to use it to oppress. They're going to use it, he says, for God giveth thee power. The word power means dunamis. The power of God to get wealth or to create wealth. Why? That he may establish his covenant upon the earth. Then there shall be no poor among you, so that you can help the poor. You see, when you have 100 trillion, it is easy, don't let's go to 100. Let's just go 5. 10 trillion. Do you understand? There is nobody who asks you for money you can't give to. Having all sufficiency in all things to abound to every good work. This one says he needs 1,000, is a give him. This one says he needs 100, is a give him. It won't even touch the base. That kind of money. All we have to do is think about what we want to do. The money to do it will be there. We will take this gospel of the kingdom unto every tribe, tongue, and kindred. That is the purpose of the quantum leap of prosperity. So, in conclusion, we have 3 quantum leaps ahead of us. 1 is already in operation, the quantum leap of prayer. 2 are ahead of us, the quantum leap of power and the quantum leap of prosperity. Get ready. Tighten your seatbelts and take off. Let us pray. Stand to your feet. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Talk about quantum leaps. Quantum leaps of prayer. There was a prayer, power, and prosperity. Remember, no quantum leap of prayer, no other quantum leaps. Nah, I didn't say amen to that one. They're always trying to look for a will. Not in this move. You could do all that wago wago in Pentecost. You can't do it in Tabernacles. You know why? It's just free of charge. I'll just give it to you. If you look at the day, if you look at the Feast of Pentecost, you will discover that, you know, these things had leaven inside. A type of sin. But Tabernacles is pure fruit. All the, let me use a scriptural expression. All the supplanting of Jacob that was permitted in Pentecost will not be permitted in Tabernacles. In Tabernacles, the only people who will prosper will be Israel. So every Jacob must now change to Israel through prayer. That's how Jacob changed. That's why you need the quantum leap of prayer. That will change you from Jacob to Israel. Then you can be trusted. I don't know if I've helped anybody here this afternoon.
Pastor G,
this needs to be made into a book immediately. Quantum Leaps of Prayer, Power, and Prosperity. Let's talk to God, talk to God, talk to God, talk to God. Hallelujah. Many of you have already, you know, the encouraging thing about this is that it's not something that's coming. You already, many of you have already experienced the quantum leap of prayer. Some of you are already experiencing, even if you have not experienced it in fullness, you're already experiencing, so you know that the others are going to happen. You already experienced the quantum leap of prayer. So it's an encouragement to you. That's why it's a present truth prophetic message. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Down at your feet, O Lord, it's the most high place.
It's the most high place.
In your presence.
In your presence,
we seek your face.
We seek your face.
Down at your feet, start again.
At your feet, oh Lord.
That's the most high place. That's where you get all the quantum leaps.
In your presence, Lord, we seek your face.
Seek your face.
There is no higher calling.
Higher calling. No greater.
Greater honor than to bow and kneel before your throne. By your mercy, oh Lord, we live to worship.
Down at your feet again, glory to God. And it's the truth, that's when the quantum leaps come. It's the most high place.
In your presence.
Your face. There is no higher.
Higher calling.
No
greater honor than to bow and kneel before your throne.
Your heart, raise the other hand. That song is prophetic because it's down at his feet. That's the place of prayer. That's where you're going to get all the quantum leaps from. There is no
greater glory. There is no higher honor. Where you want to go high, go down on your feet. That's where you're going to get all the quantum leaps of power and prosperity. And that's going to make you the most powerful people on the face of the earth. He said, they shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Now, you raise about 3 or 4 or 5, 10 people from the dead, you know, and take them out of their caskets and take them out of their graves. By the time you do about 10, 15 of them, they will be afraid of you. They will be afraid of you. Hello? And you know what? Because that power of prayer has been done in your heart, you will stay humble. You will stay humble. You won't use it to oppress. And that will even amaze them more. Because they know that if they were in your position, they would be so oppressive. But you'll be like Jesus. You raise people from there and say, don't tell anybody. Go home. Go and be your wife. Go and be your husband. It's coming. I got a tweet. It's here. The hour is coming and now is. It's here. You know why? We're already seeing the quantum leap. The quantum prayer. The quantum leap of prayer. We already got that one. Some of us already got it. Some of us are already in conduction band. We're doing it every day, 24/7. What they said was impossible, we're doing it. This book of the law will not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate in it day and night. We're doing it. Not us, but the grace and the mercy of God that is with us. They said it couldn't be done. We're doing it. It's a lie. Pray without ceasing. They say it cannot be done. We're doing it. It's a lie. Pray in tongues and groanings consistently. It cannot be done. We're doing it. It's a lie. The neck, we're now waiting for the power quantum. Glory to God. And then for the prosperity quantum. And we know exactly what we want to do with the prosperity. So we're not going to waste it. We will not be like Solomon. For a greater than Solomon is here. The prosperity is not just to build fine houses and ride fine cars. We will have that. And ride nice planes. We'll only use the planes because they are practical. Not because we want to show off. Are you listening to me? Because it's important in its place. Amen. But that will not be the purpose. The purpose will be the gospel. The discipleship of the nations and the lifting of the poor. Yesterday we were looking at the IDP camps. The internal displaced persons camps on television. My wife and I and say, you know. And we just say, look at this place. How can they leave these people like this? Don't tell me there's no money in Nigeria. They could build that place, put in good facilities, water and electricity and something. Those children are dying in their millions because some people are misusing money. You see them with their barbaric guy in Abuja. Judgment is coming.
Amen.
But I got good news. God will give you space to repent. I just got that from God. He said, tell them I have given them space. There's no reason why any child should be dying in any IDP camp with the kind of billionaires we have in Nigeria. No reason at all. If 4 or 5 people get together and say, come on, within 1 week, they built how many hospitals in China? In 1 week, the technology is on the earth. If you want to build that camp in 1 week, you can do it. These things get God angry. They get me angry. But I won't sin. Talk to God. Talk to God.
There is no Lord higher than you.
No
greater honor.
And kneel before your throne.
I'm amazed.
at your glory. I'm embraced by your mercy. I live to work. One more time. I'm amazed. Glory to God. Put one hand on your heart. Raise the other hand to God. Say, Father, we confess our sins. Especially, Lord, the sin of unbelief. Father, forgive me. Forgive me for not believing your word. Not believing that in this day and hour, we can experience the Spirit without measure, like Jesus did, and even greater. But I repent now, and I choose of my free will to believe your word. I will not despise the pleasant land. I will believe. I will not be like the children of Israel who perish in the wilderness because of unbelief. I believe. And therefore I speak. I believe. I believe. I believe. Therefore now I speak. Father, have mercy on me. Help me. Help me to experience these quantum leaps. Firstly, the quantum leap of prayer, so that I will be praying without ceasing. Once every 6 hours, praying in the fourth watch with all kinds of prayer in the spirit to enforce your government, your kingdom, not only in my life, but in my circumstances and in my regional heavenlies, so I can be a blessing to the men around me. And then to experience the quantum leap of power and the quantum leap of prosperity, so that I will be an instrument in your hand to establish your covenant upon the earth and help and deliver the poor from their oppressors. Father, have mercy on me. I believe in Jesus' name. Nekatashke Frede. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord, as we pray in the Spirit. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. In Jesus' name, mommy, join hands with somebody. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. Even the gate of death. Even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life of God satisfied. And show you his salvation in the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart unto you the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are quantum leaping in prayer, in power, and in prosperity. In Jesus' name. Amen.